Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Today is Tuesday, and you know what that means. It means Richard Narog, co-host of the show, is on the show, which makes it all the more exciting to look forward to Tuesdays. I know I do. I certainly am more excited about knowing that Richard Narog is on the show than going to another silly city council meeting in Yonkers. But, hey, that's another story in another show. How you doing, Rich?
I'm doing fine. And yourself? You're bearing up with everything? You had a long day at federal court yesterday?
Well, I felt like when I got there, I was like anticipating what could conceivably happen. I was a little uncomfortable about the demeanor of the judge. I thought that she would be, she wouldn't be metering out justice. I was concerned about that because she seemed to waffle on the position of judge, especially when she permitted, or I thought she would permit, the jury verdict to stand. And I couldn't understand that, but then I did realize something that I hadn't realized before, which I guess shows my ignorance. The case of Zahi Jaris, Sandy and Abi, that was brought against them for corruption charges by the federal government, was one in which they could have probably chosen to have a trial by a judge or a trial by jury. And they chose the jury. And what was fascinating in the learning process for me was that here's a judge, extremely eloquent, aware of law, case law. She's up to date. She isn't off on anything. She's regarded as one of the best on the bench. And at the same time, what I realized was she doesn't impose her jurisprudence. She doesn't impose her intellect or her knowledge over that of the jury, which is like monumental to me, because it basically says, hey, I respect that these people wanted to be tried by their peers, and she allowed the peers to stand with their verdict because, and this is interesting, because the judge had surmised that they could have concluded as they did despite the fact that she disagreed with them. I mean, this is mind-boggling to me. I mean, this is the sort of stuff that I should have been taught in school, but I wasn't. I mean, does that blow you away? Because it blows me away.
Well, like everyone else, I'm listening to your every word because you were there on the scene. But before we proceed, I need to say welcome to all of our listeners. I think we got so excited about where you were yesterday, we forgot to welcome our listeners and thank them for listening in this morning and being with us. Live now or later by archive, of course, because we come from the great state of New York, County of Westchester, City of Yonkers, Hezi Aris and Rich Narog, for which Mr. Aris will dutifully provide the numbers for call-ins for those who might be interested somewhere along the line, but they should have it anyway. And we're happy to provide information and opinion and education, if you will, on the issues of the day, particularly as they pertain to the City of Yonkers, which is what Mr. Aris was just discussing. At the conclusion and verdict of the federal trial on former council member Sandy and Abi and former Republican Party City Chairman Zahi Jaris. And if you don't mind throwing out that number, Hezi?
No, not at all. It's a great time to do so, and thanks for pointing that out. The number is a local number. It's 347 area code. So 347 is the area code, then 205-9201. And again, it's 347-205-9201.
And we welcome people to call in at any time. I know how interested they are in our chatting away here, and they don't want to disturb us and listen to every word and listen to the profound from on high. I say that certainly tongue-in-cheek, but we welcome your calls. It's not an interruption. It's an extended conversation among radio friends. So back to the question that you posed relative to the judge's stance, whereby I understood you to say, not being in the courtroom, obviously like everyone else, that because Ms. Anabi and Mr. Jaris selected a jury over a judge to decide the case, you said the judge let stand the jury's decision, although it was clearly visible to you that the judge did not necessarily agree with the verdict by the jury, but allowed it to stand.
And not only was it visible, it was expressed.
Expressed
by the judge. This is not a body language translation by me, or a wink of the eye, or the clothing she was wearing, but it was expressed, and she said so herself. She said, "I am not happy with the conclusion," and so it's very interesting. But I guess dissect and find.
Well, I mean, you're also saying she could have sort of overruled the decision as well.
No. It's conceivable, but you see.
But she could have went in another direction. She could have heightened or lessened what the jury said. Did you think she might have lessened it? She might have thought this was too much for what was done, or too little.
Well, I think she, in the sentencing, she made some corrections. Her responsibility, from my understanding as a judge, is to deter this sort of conduct, the conduct of corruption, and to meter out justice at the same time. So in other words, the deterrence must be commensurate to the injustice. I mean, to the justice that's required of the court. The court has to give enough to deter, but not too much to exceed the impact of whatever the misdeed was. So
in other words, it shouldn't be cruel and unusual punishment, but appropriate to the crime.
Well, thank God for you, because although I couldn't have said it so eloquently, and so that's the way it is. But that's what it is. But the point is, she figured out that she didn't need to trespass into their arena, their responsibility, because their conclusion, while she may not have agreed with it, is a summation that they came to, and it's conceivable. It's a plausible conclusion. They were being tried by a jury of their peers, not by a judge who may have known better and did. And when you get back to deterrence, when she ended up passing judgment on the sentencing, she gave Sandy Anabi a 6-year sentence in jail, 4 years for Zahi Jarrus. She came down hard, and she could not waver because of the false information afforded the banking system to get her mortgage. So she basically, you lied about the information you gave the people who gave you the mortgage. So that's bank fraud. She says it's outright bank fraud. There's no way to get around it. And she said that. The judge said that.
So literally, in your opinion, the facts clearly spoke for themselves, and they weren't favorable to Anabi or Jarrus.
They weren't favorable or not favorable. The judge stuck to the parameters of the law. She also defined the parameters and the levels of severity by the parameters set in the law. There's an algorithm of some sort, which evidently Mr. Sapone, he is the lawyer representing Sandy Anabi. He presented that in a very cerebral dissertation, which I found offended the judge, because whether he meant to or not, Mr. Sapone basically prodded the judge and saying, "Hey, do you know about this precedent? Do you know about that precedent?" And she initially, I saw her mumbling something, because I can't read lips, so I didn't know what she was saying. But she was taken aback. And then she responded, because he almost cajoled her to respond. And she said, "I know that case. I sat on that case. I know that judge. I know this." And initially I thought he was going to lose it, but he backed off just at that point where I thought the judge was going to smack him right into the ground. So he was effective in pointing out those issues that are precedent cases that the judge was not only familiar with, but ended up utilizing in her summation and in the sentencing.
So you would think the attorney, from what you said, would have known that she sat in on these cases, not necessarily her familiarity with other judges, but certainly if she sat in on the case and had some connection to the case, that he would have known that and pointed it out in a different fashion if that was the road he was going down. But nevertheless,
actually you're right. You see, because after he employed that game, you know, that game with her, he challenged her. He ended up backing off, recognizing that she was there. So he did play the game. He knew she was there. He knew more than he owned up to telling, but that was the difference in the case. But he was smart enough to back off. So he didn't allow whatever it was that allowed him to initially go there, but he backed off because the judge she doesn't play games. She is such a straight shooter, and every issue that she brought up in the trial, she presented. She didn't leave any page unturned and say, well, you know, I didn't say this and I didn't say that and I didn't cover this and we discussed this. She covered it all.
So you're saying, as a witness who sat there in the courtroom, so to speak, and observed this, that the judge was fair? And would you go so far as to say, if you came before her, you'd feel she'd be fair one way or another based on the facts?
Yes, because she abided by the law. She didn't interpret the law. She didn't extend. She didn't bring her wrath down on anybody. She just said, hey, this is what you did. You committed bank fraud. This is what you get for bank fraud. She also pointed out, and this was really the most fascinating thing about her conduct, was that Colleen McMahon, she's the judge. She's a federal judge, and this was her courtroom. And she basically said, hey, to the government, you can't exact anything from either of these two people because you're talking about a state tax, meaning a tax that belongs to New York State. These are not federal taxes. So you didn't prove your case in my courtroom, so you're not getting any recompense for that. Because the city of Yonkers wanted some money back, but they said, hey, you're not entitled. She said so. They wanted $300,000 worth of the salary that Sandy Anabi earned as a council member in whatever guise she was in, because at times she was a majority leader and stuff like that. The point is, she said, you're not entitled to the $300,000-some-odd. And she whittled that down to about $14,000, because that's all they would have been entitled to based on what she did, and nothing more. And also, Mr. Carbone, one of the prosecutors for the government, said, I think it was with regard to Zahi Jaris, the former GOP chairman. He said something to the effect of, well, you know, he's got other issues. And she stopped him right there and she said, Mr. Carbone, don't you dare go there because you didn't prove it in my court and I don't want to know anything about it. I'm trying him on these issues that were brought up in court. I mean, you could see, if you want to see, because there are people who walked in there with an agenda. They were either for these defendants or they were against them. They were either for the judge because of her positions or they were against her. The bottom line is you got to throw all that CRAP out the window and listen and tolerate whatever offends you and think. And that's what most people don't do. And she defined the clarity of her mind and the clarity of the law, not because I was happy to see what she concluded with. In fact, I'm not. However, but I saw the balance in her thinking and the understanding of her arguments and the appreciation for the time and effort she expended on this case. And she would not be moved by a game by the government, and she would not be moved by, you know, like an outcry of mea culpa by Sandy Anabi, which could have been either an Oscar-winning moment of crying or could have been true. One would never know. But the bottom line is that she gave her all, if you wanted to see it. And that's where I understood it.
And well, we have what at the end of the road now with this verdict. We have people who need to report sometime in the early spring of next year,
mm-hmm.
that are going to go away to prison, because that's where they go, prison.
Right.
Asking for better level accommodations, if you will.
But don't
Danbury, I understand, for Danbury, Connecticut, I understand, for Mr. Nabi, and someplace in New York, for Mr. Jarris.
Yeah, but don't forget they can appeal. They got 10 days to appeal, and they said they would appeal.
Yes, but just for information in terms of the people who are listening,
mm-hmm.
that this is where it stands now. If they appeal, of course, it could be delayed even further.
Yeah.
But they have to, I guess, put in their chits, if you will, for where they would like to go if that could be accommodated. Again, her to a less difficult environment. So Danbury, Connecticut, apparently, and he, because of family issues, someplace in New York. And on top of it, they're supposed to pay these high dollar amounts of money, I believe over $200,000 for Mr. Jarris and nearly $1.5 million for Sandy Anabi. I don't know how they're going to do that. And on top of it, they've disgraced themselves. Unfortunately, two young people in their beginning early 40s. What a shame. And people who were there to serve the public and unfortunately served themselves. A jury found them guilty. Two among many. You also had Mr. Mangone, of course. And all part of what? All parts of an organization and an association with State Senator Nick Spano, who himself is away in Pennsylvania for similar reasons. All of these people are connected, unfortunately. That's the incestuous nature here of Yonkers politics, Westchester County politics. In this case, as you know, Mr. Mangone was sort of a attorney consigliere for Mr. Spano, State Senator Spano. Mr. Jarris, Zahi Jarris, of course, very intimately connected. And by virtue of that extension, his cousin Sandy Anabi, council member. So, you know, you have to connect some of the dots, too. It's just unfortunate all the way around for the disgrace brought to the individuals and their families for no reason other than if they were doing their job and serving the people rather than serving themselves, we wouldn't be at this stage. And is it the end? Do you or I believe it's the end? I think, honestly, no. Will we find more, and will it happen as we go forward? Yes. Will people learn from this? Really, do you think so? I think people lose themselves sometimes when they get elected to office and move into positions of power, be they elected again or appointed. We hope this doesn't happen. You hope these are lessons. But you know what? It remains to be seen. And every time everybody thinks it's cleaned up and it's wonderful and it's all over and it'll never happen again, the next story will break. Sometimes within 24 hours, rather than 24 days or 24 months or 24 years. You hope it never happens, but then again, cases are being made. The city is being watched, obviously. This is one of many over the last certainly 20 years, and I date that from strong mayor, former government, just as a point of reference. And I don't know. Is it the people we elect and appoint? It's a question to be debated, I guess. What is it that allows for this to happen? Is it too long in office? Are the associations, too comfortable? And it applies to both parties, or all the parties, I should say, no party in particular, but you know, you've had long-serving people here, one way or another, in at various levels of government, from the state, you know, down to the county, down to the city, and down to the local ward. So, you know, here's what we have.
Well, you know, I think you bring up very important issues, and besides soiling themselves in the conduct that was recognized by the court, I guess the commensurate deterrence for others that might look at this case, which is very unique, and they went through a whole big to-do about how this case is more unique or different than other cases, and therefore precedent from other places shouldn't necessarily impinge on this verdict. But she concluded, as she did, the judge. And at the end of the day, the reason I was a little bit taken aback by it is because, in reality, we've accomplished nothing. Yes, these people will likely go to jail with or without the appeal. They will serve time. However, Yonkers isn't serving any time. We've been soiled. We've been besmirched. We've been hurt. We've been challenged. We're the ones that are going to jail with them, even though we won't be spending time there. So we're going to be able to laugh at them as if they're the culprits, yet we're the culprits. And I'll show you how it begins and why it ends as it does. Like, we have a guy who is a city councilman. His name is Christopher Johnson. He represents the 1st District. This man is abusive. He yells at particularly black women or women of color. He's demeaning. He's a bully. He is something that is anathema to the conduct in a civil society, which we regard ourselves to be. You know, this is not some outrageous banana republic where you treat women like garbage and they're told what to do and they snap their fingers and go to it. These are people to be respected. Now, he's disrespected one aide that he hired and he got rid of her. Then he hired another aide, this one now, and he also berates her in public, admonishes her, puts his face right in hers, beyond the standard that would be accepted in this society, because every society has a different distance between people that's permitted. And the bottom line is, this man is outrageous, but all the women who work in the city council, in the city council office, happen to only be women. There are no men there, and they're scared out of their minds for their job, for him coming down on them, and for everything else. And the problem in our world, in the world of Yonkers, is nobody has what it takes to stand out there and say, hey, this is not good. This is not only not good, it's wrong. You either get help or get the hell out. And I didn't hear the chairman of the Democratic Party, Simmer Brandon, say anything to this guy. He's a little whippersnapper that walked out of the Bronx and came to Yonkers and falsely ran a campaign and got help from other people in the party. Don't get me wrong. It's not just happening on the Democratic side of the ticket. But the bottom line is, this one is a problem, and he came out of the Democratic Party machine, and nobody says a word. Why? And that's why we suffer this.
And that's interesting history, because as we know here in the city of Yonkers, after the retirement of your favorite council member.
Oh, yeah, Patricia McDowell, my lover.
Patricia McDowell, we find this gentleman who we know recently before the election, obviously, before the election, but moved from the Bronx into Yonkers, is nominated by the Democratic Party in the city of Yonkers for the 1st District seat, which is amazing, has to be considered an outsider, really unheard of, and, you know, wins the seat with the approval of the Democratic Party structure, including in the 1st Ward. And interestingly enough, and correct me if I'm wrong, he's employed by and on the state staff of State Senator Andrea Stewart-Cousins?
Yes, sir, you're right. And he now, and that in itself is a conflict.
Isn't that a conflict of interest?
Oh, are you kidding?
You're an elected council member working for an elected state official. You mean to tell me there's no conflict of interest here? I mean, is that another thing that is seen but unseen, as you said?
Well,
where people, under the circumstances relative to what you just told the listening audience about the way he treats staff, that other council members and colleagues say, hey, what's the deal? Back off. The party chairs don't say a thing. I mean, really. I mean, what's going on? And you're indicating how you see these things at the ground floor, retail level, if you will, before they go wholesale down the road, and people say, oh, how did this happen? Well, if you follow the history you're saying, you'll know why, because of the people who are involved.
Well, the beauty of this is, like you said, we're telling the story. We told the story in September, and the point is, it's come back. Because the first, and this is the problem with people in government. It becomes a lust for power. It is so intoxicating, because I think you've quite often eloquently advised me that, hey, when people go into politics, they go in for all the right reasons. They're going to fix this. They're going to fix that. They're going to take care of this one and that one. But somehow or another, in that process, their brain goes haywire. Their hormones are out of control. And these people no longer want to go into the public and into the private sector because they can't function there. They don't get the same charge. And these people, look, this guy, Mr. Johnson's got many failings, but he's not going to compensate for it like the way a guy who's is lowering testosterone can be outmaneuvered by.
Well, you have to ask too, has he? What was his resume like? What were his credentials? What experience did he have to run for office? What made him so acquainted with Yonkers and the First Ward that enabled him to do that? Other than his personal political connections, or being on political payrolls with the state and bounce from office to office, as they often do, and, set up in this position.
Well, you know, it's so funny. I'm not sure if this is a setup. I almost feel like Chris Christie on that Twinkie commercial, you know, like he wanted a comment on Twinkies. Hey, the bottom line is Chris Johnson has no resume. He's absolutely worthless as a human being, because all he ever did before he got this job that was engineered for him is he worked as the gopher, as the driver for Senator Andrea Stewart Cousins. Duh, this is not sufficient. And worse than that, he's done absolutely nothing in the 11 months in office, because he, too, got into office in 2001, and he's.
Well, let me just say something, because I know you're moving at great speed here, but I want to slow the bullet train for 1 second and say, as a human being, he has a worth, and I know you didn't mean what you said when you said he was worthless. You meant in terms of his resume, not as in his personhood.
I'm only talking about. I don't know about his personhood. I don't comment about his personhood.
He's a human being. He has worth and value and so forth. That's what I'm saying.
Yes.
We don't want our listeners to misconstrue your eloquent words.
No. I'm only talking about political worth. That's all I ever care about. It's political worth and ethical conduct. That's it.
Who should look into the fact that he has a possible conflicting role with the state position and city position? Sounds a little bit like the recent Jose Alvarado city clerk situation, doesn't it?
Well, it certainly does, but it required, look how many months it took to get them to start to look. We explained the same situation with Mr. Alvarado. What was his resume?
Well, at least the Inspector General did look into that, and we thought rather timely, and seemed to do a decent job, because the end result seemed to be, before any report came out, he resigned.
Yes. So we never saw the report.
No, we didn't. It's like waiting for that public-private partnership Freedom of Information request from the Yonkers Board of Education.
Well, I'm not going to hold my breath, because I think if I did, I would have already died. So,
no. We're waiting. I told you, keep your eye, and everyone should keep their eye very closely on this project.
There should be a
microscopic eye, a laser eye, on this public-private $2 billion deal.
Well, you know what? Let's take a quick break because it's the 10:30 break, the bottom of the half hour, and then we'll be back. And hopefully we can delve a little bit more into what's behind this whole issue of these two people being sentenced to jail time, and they have to present themselves to the jail.
And maybe some good news from City Hall. Maybe we can find some good news there.
Well, there is good news.
So, good. When we come back, we'll talk about the good news.
Yeah, well, you know, you're only giving me 60 seconds. You challenge me to no end.
That's all right. I'll give you some updates.
Okay, good. This is good. Okay, we'll be right back.
Here comes the holiday shopping event everyone's been waiting for. The Westchester Broadway Theater's Thanksgiving Weekend Gift Certificate Special. This Friday, Saturday, or Sunday, when you buy one gift certificate for two to the WBT, you'll get a second gift certificate for half price. That's right, half price. You know they're great gifts for everyone. They include a delicious full-course dinner for two and a fabulous Broadway musical, and they're good for an entire year. You're probably buying them for your friends and family anyway, but if you buy them this Thanksgiving weekend, you'll get each second gift certificate for half off the regular low price. They're available at the theater box office, but you can also pick them up at our holiday booths at the Jefferson Valley Mall, the Palisades Mall, the Poughkeepsie Galleria, or the Danbury Fair Mall. Or order them by phone at 914-592-2222. You can even order them online at BroadwayTheater.com. Don't miss this once-a-year savings event. Buy one gift certificate for two and get the second for half price. But only this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday after Thanksgiving, and only for the Westchester Broadway Theater.
Well, we are back. And this is Westchester on the Level. I have some good news. Nothing to do with Yonkers, but it turns out that from Israel, there's a report that there will be a ceasefire within hours announced.
Well, so, that's good news. That's good interruptive news, as they say.
So that's really encouraging. And, I don't know, but before we go into all the good news, because I'm a little challenged, I can't think so hard as I feel like I have to change direction. What was important is there something that we can learn from this? Are we going to go after the Forest City Ratners of the world? It doesn't look like we ever will. They walk on water. Will we ever go after the Melio family developers who it was cited even by the judge were engaged. They wanted their money back, so to speak. And the judge said, hey, you were the one that were willing to give $20,000, and now you claim that you lost the money, but you were engaged in a process in which you wanted to bribe, and that's illegal. So you don't get nothing for attempting to bribe an elected official. What do we learn from all this? Is this a lenient sentence? It seems like it to me.
It's difficult from the outside because those who get even a day in jail, it's difficult. One day. It's one day in a besmirching of the record. But let me tell you, you ask, how do we deal with it? How do we go forward? The question is, don't we have inspector general's positions for this? Do we need someone called the accountability manager to overlook this? Should there be some little small council or group or panel that sits and sort of vets things and looks at things because maybe one person can't do it on their own? Maybe the IG should work for a three-person or five-person panel that says, look into this, look into that. This has been brought to us. This has been vetted. Take a look at this. Take a look at that. You need someone because the people you elect to do this can't police themselves, whether they're legislative or executive. The judges can't do anything in the judicial until you bring it to them. We try with an IG, and credit to the person who's there now. I mean, on several instances, which certainly we've brought up here on the air, and you brought up in the paper and through your media. But it's not enough. And like you said, where do we go when these things should be cut in the beginning? With instances, as per example, Councilmember Johnson. You know, if you see signs already. Now, of course, you're almost asking for a babysitter. But, you know, it's really pathetic when you get down to it. It really is pathetic. It depends on the individual, the people, again, who are elected and supportive. And, you know, it's not the whether you're honest when people are looking at you. It's when they're not looking at you. You know what I mean? It's
Well, that's
another adage where they say, if you want to know who a person really is, give that person power, and their personality will really come out. It's true. It's absolutely true. How do you stay vigilant? And, you know, the people in and of themselves collectively can't do it, so you look for different offices or persons or levels that would do this. But nobody wants to move on anything. Even the, you know, DAs and so forth. You mean, they have to be glaring situations, for God's sakes. And yet there are simple things like what may be a conflict with the council member's position as an elected official from the first ward by the person or persons who sponsored him, and his employment in a state agency for the same person that, you know, money goes back and forth on, because he has to be paid in that other position as well. It's not like he volunteered to help for that office. He must be paid in that position. So two paying jobs, there may well be a conflict there. That's what you have to do. People have to decide what hat they want to wear, as long as they're getting salaried, and that's the difference, the salary, not the volunteer portion. There's a difference between the two. So you have to draw that distinction. But who's to look at this?
Well, look.
Where does it come down to? The media. Huh. What's that, you and me and who else?
I hate to tell you, Mr. Narog, but it's just you and I. That's it. Sorry. You know, we have a situation where I think I discussed this with you. I think we did it on the air. I'm not sure. We just recently got notice of an encumbrance by the parking authority, which is separate from the city. But they functioned. They wanted to sue the city because the city was trying to take over the parking authority. They wanted to put a stop to that. But they encumbered themselves. And yet they thought the city would pay for the city to be sued by them through the process that had been set up. But they wanted separate lawyers, and they ended up giving a bill to the city. The city refused to pay it because it wasn't defined and delineated. There was no cap to how far this cost would go, and this was with another law firm, an outside law firm. We happened to get the information. We will expose it. It's just that who had the time with the crisis with the hurricane and the nor'easter and then this case? And there's always something to do, and there are not enough people to do it. But the bottom line is they encumbered themselves and the city to the tune of $50,000. That's outrageous. It's also illegal what they did. But you know what? It's a cover-up now, too. And the inspector general needs to look there as well. Everywhere you go, we have permitted a downward trend, and the bar of excellence keeps getting lower and lower and lower, and as low as it goes, we never seem to catch up to it. So, you know, it's so funny, too. You know, with it going back to the Zahi Jaris Sandy Nabi case, I don't know about you, but when I grew up, I was practically told if a girl invited you into her home, you were going to get lucky that day. And interestingly enough, you know, when Sandy Nabi says, well, everybody thought of Zahi Jaris as my sugar daddy, and it shouldn't have been. Hey, you opened the door. You accepted money. You accepted gifts. What do you expect was going to be the return? Whether they be sexual or whether they be non-sexual, it doesn't matter. Don't we learn these lessons anymore? Are they so arcane and antiquated that they don't matter? I hate to tell you, but people don't change all that much. The dynamics are the same.
Can't argue with you.
Well, I don't know. Maybe we should go back to church and synagogue and the mosque or wherever else we go and try to figure it out. We need a lesson or two.
Well, here's the lesson. Let's go to the positive in City Hall. And I explained how I had been out of electricity for 11 days. And finally, it came and the situation was rectified and the new pole was put up. And now there's more things dangling from it that we have to move from Con Edison to cable, because the way they left it, you would think you were in some third world country. And it's amazing, because who wants to glare at this every day, literally out your front door, down your steps? and you know, people think this is the right way to go. Hey, we got the poll up, you know, that's it, that's the level. Well, I'm sorry, that's not the level. Totally unacceptable, and cable has to deal with it. So we're on to cable next. But what happened was the original poll that came down was left on the property and the driveway and so forth, all laid out. And I made a call to City Hall and asked to speak to someone who could help me, and I was directed to one of the departments and spoke to someone there who said they would do the best they could. This was on a Wednesday last week. And lo and behold, Friday, the poll was gone. So kudos to this individual in City Hall who took the time to listen and to follow up and to move forward on the issue. So congratulations. There are people. You just have to find them. They're willing to do the right thing. You have to ask. And I called back and thanked the individual as well to let him know what happened. So that's a positive and a plus, and that's what service in government should be about, to help the you know, the residents of your community, especially in a time of need, but just to follow up on normal calls and to be able to take calls, speak to people, give them a reasonable answer, and to move forward. So where it works, we're happy to say it works. Now, in the same building, of course, we see that activity has taken over in the city clerk's office, and I believe that Vinnie Spano, the first deputy, has changed political parties.
Yes.
He went from a registered conservative to a registered Democrat, which tells you and me that there may be an appointment soon for a city clerk who may be a Democrat. Let's guess who that might be.
Oh, no, you can't challenge me to think that it might be Vinnie.
Well, I'll not. You've been burdened enough. I'm going to suggest it'll be Vinnie Spano. And I say, and I think on your behalf, too, kudos, because we have said from day one when that vacancy existed because of the departure of Ms. Dierlein, who retired, we thought the straightforward choice was Vinnie Spano, did we not?
Absolutely, and I still believe that.
I know, and I still believe it, too. I hope they're heading in that direction, and they don't bring another circus to town as they did through the Alvarado parade.
Oh, but wait a minute. I got to tell you that they are. This is what's so interesting. There's a gentleman who's in his 70s who was part of the Democratic Party hierarchy. They tried to throw him up there last year, but he didn't. I don't know what the hell he's even interested in this for, but I don't think he was. He was going to take one for the Democratic Party. Then Simmer Brandon decided she wanted to run. That would have been really terrific. Here's a triple dipper now, because she works for the senator and she gets a pension from the county. And now she wanted to also become the clerk. Isn't that sweet? And then on top of that, we hear, remember George Kevgas, the guy that used to work for City Council President Chuck Lesnik? And then he moved over to help somebody's campaign effort, but you couldn't really hear who it was that he worked for because they took their hand and caused their mouth to be mumbled so that it was indecipherable what, where and where he was. And then it turned out he ended up working, are you sitting down for this, for the George Latimer campaign, trying to figure out where Mr. Latimer should spend most of his time, where he would have the most, you know, support. But Mr. Kevgas screwed that up, and just goes to show you what a wonderful guy he is. Who wants people who have proven themselves inept to come on to the city council, to the clerk's office? I mean, that's outrageous. I mean, it's bad enough that Mr. Latimer had to suffer his ineptitude, but in the city of Yonkers, I don't need such riffraff. But the bottom line is, we're talking about political push when he's incompetent for the job, just incompetent. And this is really very important. And anyone who would even consider voting for this guy is out of their mind. And that's just based on political ability. He's got none. Why do we want that? At least with Vinnie Spano, we got 10 years of, are we sitting down, experience.
And political experience, people can be directed and guided and mentored. by those who wish to mentor and guide with an agenda. So people can't think for themselves because they don't have the experience to do so.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Doesn't lend to anything. But Vinnie Spano, 10 years under his belt, we said from day one, what are you waiting for? Let's get going.
Well, that is the whole point. And I hope this is, we learned something. I can't for the life of me understand why it's permissible to promote these inept government officials. Well, they're not government, they're party officials, to put someone in government because it's a patronage job, and yet we have to suffer their ineptitude. Why are they even there? Isn't there a job that's involved in being a clerk?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And the office, you know, it deals with just about everything you could think of, basically handling all kind of records and licenses. You want competent, fair people who truly serve. And that office, certainly over the last 40 years, has that record and has that reputation. It cannot fall into political hands. I mean, it just cannot be politicized. It is a political office by virtue of appointment, but it needs not be politicized. And that's what we've been away from. We've had the good service through the city clerk's office for the last 40 years. And now, in what direction are they moving? I think if they move to Vincent Spano, they're moving in the right direction.
Yeah, I think so. Hey, he's proven himself capable and able, and he has the energy and the drive.
Yeah.
He works on literally polishing his name and the work that he does. The work speaks to his being proud of what he does, and he does it well.
He does it well. He's interested in it. He works at it. He's a person who listen, get back to you. I mean, you know, I can tell you from personal experience.
Hey, all I know is that when I've asked for anything from Mr. Spano, from Vincent Spano, he's always delivered. They never shirked the responsibility, always made sure I would get what was required, and nothing out of the ordinary, only what was permitted, someone in the media. And yet when I had to ask Mr. Kevgis for anything that I should have gotten, a simple agenda, just the agenda, nothing beyond the listing of the agenda, he would give me a hard time. I have to wait 2 hours. And I actually confronted Mr. Council President himself. I said, you better put an end to this because I'm not going to tolerate this CRAP from this idiot. And I didn't. And I still refuse to. And the point is, everyone else who ever had to deal with Mr. Kevgis had to deal with that issue. How would anyone in their right mind vote for a fool like this? And this is the problem that we have, and this is what exacerbates discussion.
You know, here's another issue that's a wider issue that I certainly have spoken to, we've talked about. Mm-hmm. And that simply is, how do these people get there? And when they get there, how do they stay there, and how do they rise? You know, well, I guess part of it, and in the general picture that we've spoken of, is because some of those people with experience who tend to give the guidance want people who will be the gophers, literally, in one way or another. Regardless of the fact that they're even elected to office, they're not supposed to think for themselves. And it's always about the party, whichever party. You know, you get elected on a party line, you have a philosophy, but you're there for all the people who you represent in your district, your assembly, your senate, whatever the case may be. It's about the people, not the party. But more so, you say, why does this happen or tend to happen? Well, you get this sense of entitlement there, if we can do anything with anybody and we don't have to care, regardless of what resume they don't or do have, by virtue of the fact of these all-inclusive districts that are gerrymandered. So if no one's there to challenge, in this case, the First Ward Democrats, you know, using that as our example, because you can't get a Republican elected or a conservative elected, well, then they can do what they want, because then it's the old story. They go to the donkey line, go right across. Anybody we put up gets elected regardless. It doesn't make a difference if the opposition is sterling. It doesn't make any difference. And who gets cheated in the end?
The public.
The people. The people of the district, the people of the city, they get cheated. they think they're doing the right thing. You know, the philosophy, the person, the party. No, no. It's a club.
Well, Rich, are we just talking amongst each other as, you know, like between, like as if nobody's listening? The bottom line is, are we out of our minds?
Not at all. Not at all. And people are listening.
Well, you know.
And people know it's true. See, first you have to expose before you can correct. You have to go first before you go to the political doctor for an analysis and evaluation. You have to find out what's wrong before the suggested operation or treatment is handed out.
Mm. Frightening. I don't think I'll live long enough to see a correction here.
But you should live long enough anyway.
Well, that's true. I mean, hopefully
let's talk a little about Boyce Thompson, for instance.
Oh, I love that. Oh, I went crazy over that because I had known for about 5 months or so, 6 months, that there was discussion of the Boyce Thompson redevelopment.
Yeah, we should explain that, I guess, to our listeners who are unfamiliar with what Boyce Thompson means.
Well, Boyce Thompson, I think they were from the early 1900s. They did a lot of work on plant genetics, and so they were at the forefront of genetics with plants and growing it for better yields and stuff like that.
And on their former property in West Yonkers stands the last remaining building, which the city owns.
Right.
Across from there is a school there right now. It used to be Elizabeth Seton, and then of course you have the Irish Center that was part of their convent and main building. So this is the area of Yonkers we're in, and what we're talking about in development. But I said to myself, you know, and this brings me back to the PPP, the public-private partnership.
Mm-hmm.
That's a location that should be considered and reserved for educational purposes.
Well, that's
since the city owns it, and they're looking through the Board of Education, or at least the Board of Education is looking for and presenting the fact that they need land and they need buildings and they need to expand and they need to do these things. Well, wouldn't part of that be looking at this particular property and this particular building?
Most definitely. But the thing, before we even get to what they're going to do with the building, we should point out that the Ginsburg operation were the ones that were afforded the opportunity to bid on that project. The old administration, Phil Amaconi's administration, claimed that they not only put a deposit, but they were going to build. They evidently didn't put up squat. And the bottom line is they held on to that property all these years and did nothing with it. And now it turns out that this new administration, they take a very quiet move and say, hey, we want an RFP on this project and see what we can do with it. Why don't they just tell us the whole truth? Why do I have to know all this stuff? If I was a normal reporter, I wouldn't know anything about this situation because I wouldn't have followed it. You can't just throw somebody in and say, well, how come we don't own it? I thought we were going to own it. I thought it was we got three permutations of what Ginsburg was going to do with it. And he did nothing. Where's the money? I want the money.
Where's the money?
I want the money for Yonkers.
Look, if you don't have your own land, you have to buy land. If you have to buy land, you may have to condemn buildings, move people, and then raise buildings to put up new buildings. Is anybody paying attention here to the overall picture?
I think they are. I think they are. Well, look, also the other property, so that's coming back into the fold and supposedly is part of an economic development project. Then
I'm talking about school purposes because I want to make sure I'm clear on this, not to be rushing to develop that parcel.
Well, you're very clear about it. It's just that like everything else, if the city was fully aware of the public-private partnership, which we exposed, then they would be better able to move ahead more quickly because people wouldn't be taken aback and say, well, what are you doing here? But, hey, this could be one of the first parcels of property that could be incorporated into a new school.
Well, it certainly should be considered, not knowing what the full program is with the public-private partnership. You wouldn't want to get rid of this piece if we're talking about the other situation. We are in the same city.
Correct.
What other properties did you have in mind?
I was thinking also about the Glenwood Power Station, which was a little bit disconcerting because City Hall thought that they were going to show a new demeanor in the way they're going to start with economic development. But last week, when I attended the meeting at the City Council, there was a public hearing over the Glenwood Power Station Trevor Park situation, and the Hudson River Community Association was not notified in advance, even though the project has been functioning for about 5 to 6 months. Chuck Lesnick knew about it. He never called up Harka. Dr. Bosnick was involved, but he never called up Harka. Harka meets at the Nebrahan Community Center. I mean, what kind of game is this? And the best part of all is, and this is the thing that blew me away, they wouldn't put 850 parking spots under Trevor Park. And so people saying, hey, don't dig up my park. It's my park. It's like a Central Park to us here in Yonkers, and we live for that park, and that's part of who we are, and that's our identity. Okay, great, First District. So while we have Mr. Johnson berating his staff, this is what's going on. In fact, that's when he had the second blowout at that meeting with his aide. But the point is that they are evidently able to take that park, stick parking spots underground, and therefore they don't take away from the acreage of parkland. Isn't that sweet? This is what they can think about, but they can't think about doing the right thing. And the best part of all is when some lady said to Mr. Ron Shemesh, the developer, they asked him, well, where's the money coming from? I don't know. We're trying to figure it out. Well, is it going to be taxpayer money or not? I don't know. Trying to figure it out. What the hell does he know? He didn't even know where Glenwood was. So I don't understand any of these games. But we pick on him. He's supposed to be there. And he's sitting down for this one. Remember Ed Sheeran, the economic development czar, who in a financial bind in Ireland to this day with the EU because he ripped them off for millions. The point is he's still involved. He's on the waterfront. And he's involved in the Shemesh deal. You know, we're pissing our life away. And that's because our elected officials, like Chuck Lesnick, aren't honest with the public. And I say that as clearly as I can. I'm disgusted by the lies, the deceits, and the omissions. This is not the world I live in. This is not the world I was raised to live in. And Mr. Lesnick has no right to do what he does.
You haven't learned a new vocabulary.
Uh-oh, what is it?
You haven't learned the word progressive. These are progressive things. The word today is forward. We're moving forward. We're not looking backward. We're moving forward. Isn't that amazing? We're moving forward. We're not going backward. These are the words that we adapt to these situations to obfuscate the situation.
Well,
that isn't the same city council president who, on his political literature, on the masthead, uses a photo of the city council tower, is it?
You got that right, and there's a problem with that, as you well know.
I think so.
Well, there's a...
No.
He's not permitted to use that on his campaign literature, but he did. Is he going to get fined? What's your name? Is Ms. Kitley...
Colville?
Colville, thank you, because I still have difficulty remembering your name. I really should be shot for that, and I apologize. She needs to look into it, and he should be fined. He should be fined for using it in the year for his election process, and every year he used it, and I want his salary back every goddamn year.
Well, wait a minute now. He has it currently on all his information that goes out relative to fundraisers or other such things. So it's still in use.
And that's why he needs to be fined, because he needs to be deterred from this sort of behavior.
This is how it creeps in. You see people, what's the problem? Well, there's no problem if you're the city council president and it's people's news out of City Hall in your office, but when you use it for political purposes, you know, that attachment says, this is my territory, this is my ground, I own it. You know what I mean?
Remember when Mr. Picari was admonished for writing a letter to the judge for the benefit of Mizunabi, and he mm-hmm. used city council, department stationery?
Yes.
And they said he couldn't do it, and he shouldn't have done it. The point is, he needed to be smacked for that. However, that's it. He should have been told, but maybe they never sent out a directive to anybody, because it's expected for you to become excessive and flamboyant and in your face, but it's not appropriate. He shouldn't have lost $10,000 in salary, because if he did, so should the mayor have lost his money, because the mayor did exactly the same thing for his brother on city stationery when he tried to ask the court to be lenient with his brother. So the point is, these things need to be stopped. That's why we have an IG. I'm still hoping the IG will do the good stuff.
Me too.
Well, I'm not holding my breath, because, you know, I've held my breath for too long in Yonkers, and there were times I would just stop breathing, and it wasn't good enough. I can't go that far. These people need to do their job.
Well, I hope you hold your breath, because you have another hour, and I'll be leaving momentarily.
Oh, well, thank you, sir. Well, that's just great. Well, anyway, so this is a good thing. I see that it's already past the 11 o'clock hour. So I want to thank you, Mr. Narong.
You are most welcome, Mr. Harris. I wish you and all our listeners, live or by archive, a happy Thanksgiving.
I love that part.
And a wonderful week with weather, and we're past the storms and everything, so it should be very enjoyable for all. I hope nobody gets too caught up in this Black Friday business, and certainly this horrible, horrible idea of opening stores at 8 p.m. on Thanksgiving Day to draw people away from their family, friends, and dinner table of the celebration, and, of course, force people to come to work who normally would appreciate having the day off.
That's what's so interesting, if you got an extra second.
Sure.
It really is a breakdown of the family structure. It's bad enough we don't get together during the regular week, and here's a Thanksgiving when we should have had time to reflect and just to reconnect with family and friends. And you almost feel like a fool, because they say if you wait in line, it's worth your while because the savings are so great. There are people who have nothing else better to do than park their tent a week before these stores open up. I mean, is that sick or what?
But be a lot of money out there waiting to be spent, and the consumer spending was probably going to go through the roof the way they talk. I mean, it's amazing. Yet the reports don't indicate that. But what they do is they have the cameras show everybody knocking themselves out, breaking glass doors, trampling over people, hurting people, killing people. It's ridiculous. It's absurd. It's a mentality that's so below us. I mean, really, it's pathetic. Can't we just enjoy a holiday like Thanksgiving? I mean, one holiday that truly brings everyone together and gets everyone going, and we have to worry about bringing Black Friday to late Thursday or something to sell a television set at a reduced price? How absurd.
Well, I mean, what I would suggest is that people go to their favorite places for whatever product they want online, put it into their basket, and not check out until the time that it's due to be able to check out to get these savings. And don't show up at the stores. Just then do it online.
I think there was a survey that was just done through the television medium.
Uh-huh.
And they polled people as to yes or no. You know, would you go? 90% no. 4% didn't care, and 6% said yes. So that ought to tell you that there's some sanity left.
I hope so, because, you know, I'm just afraid that next year it'll be not 90%, it'll maybe drop down to 85%, and eventually this thing will, through attrition, whittle itself down, where even the tradition of Thanksgiving, which is typically probably the most American of holidays.
Look, you know who can really help this out is the media. Keep the cameras away. No cameras? Mm-hmm. Who cares?
Very true. Well, I'm not going to bring my camera there, that's for sure.
I won't even be there. I'll be enjoying the turkey.
Enjoy. Gobble, gobble.
And the best to you and to all of our listeners. And we look forward to next week's show, Tuesday at 10 a.m., Westchester on the Level Blog Talk Radio. So we thank you once again for listening, and may you all have a great Thanksgiving. Take care, Hezzy.
Thank you. You too. All the best.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Well, there you have it, folks. The one and only Richard Narog, co-host of the show. This is Westchester on the Level, and as Mr. Narog always reminds me, we should give you our phone number. So in case you want to get engaged in the conversation, you may consider doing so, because we solicit, I don't know about we, but I certainly go nuts, and I said, let me just solicit shamelessly for your call. So the number here is 347-205-9201. 347-205-9201. And, while we're waiting to start the next hour, even though it's 5 after 11, let's find out what else is going on at the Westchester Broadway Theater. And then I'll have also an opportunity to mention to you about the free tickets to the Bodies exhibition, that these are complimentary tickets, which we are allowing people to send us an email to get. So after the Fiddler on the Roof thing, we'll be right back.
One of the best-loved musicals of all time has returned to the Westchester Broadway Theater, the Tony Award-winning classic Fiddler on the Roof. Fiddler is the most requested show ever to be brought back to the WBT, and this heartwarming story continues to delight theater lovers around the world with an unforgettable score including If I Were a Rich Man, Tradition, Matchmaker, Matchmaker, and the haunting Sunrise, Sunset. Fiddler on the Roof is appearing now through November 25th when we break to present our holiday special, The Miracle on 34th Street, from November 29th through New Year's Eve. Then Fiddler returns to play through February 3rd of 2013. And as always, your tickets include a delicious served dinner before the show with a choice of six entrees. Order tickets online at BroadwayTheater.com or call 914-592-2222. That's 914-592-2222. Make it a tradition for you and your family this year. Come back and enjoy one of the world's most beloved musicals, Fiddler on the Roof. Now through November 25th, then January 3rd through February 3rd, and only at the Westchester Broadway Theater.
Well, we are back, and this is Westchester on the Level, and we got some really fantastic news. Well, if you want, and if you're interested, and we only ask you to please send us an email with regard to Bodies, the exhibition, the one that is world famous, that is at the South Street Seaport in New York City. I'll give you the address as well, just so you know. It's at 11 Fulton Street. You don't need the address right now, but the bottom line is they also have a website called bodiestheexhibition.com, all one word, so www.bodiestheexhibition.com, and I guess you could do /New York/again, but the point is you'll find it by looking it up. And you've probably seen advertisements, certainly you have in the Westchester Guardian, where there is a cutout of a human figure where the skin, the epidermis, the outer part of the body is taken away, and you can actually see the body itself with its muscle and with its the fat and certain cutouts with the bones. You can see also and the different organs of the body. It's all there, and it is an absolutely breathtaking exhibition. And you too can go there, and it's a wonderful exhibition. It's great for adults, it's great for kids, it's a wonderful area if you just want to explore. These tickets are good into next year, but hey, what a wonderful opportunity, especially now as the holidays come into place. And we're going to mention it every week, so hopefully you'll be able to partake. So if you're interested in attending the Bodies New York, the South Street Seaport exhibition at 11 Fulton Street, then consider sending us an email. The tickets are worth about $27, $28, something to that effect. We're handing out two per email request. And We only announced this once, and Brian and Jennifer, they had requested it, and we're going to be sending them the tickets this week. And so all you need to do is send me an email to whytedictor, that's W-H-Y-T editor, so whytedictor at gmail.com. So whytedictor@gmail.com. We only send out two tickets per email, and the only way to reach us is by email. What we do need from you is the names of the people going. you don't have to be married. You could just be friends. The address and the zip code and the phone number, and that's all we need from you. So unfortunately, if you don't have an email, there's no way for you to reach us. So it's only by email that we're doing this promotion. And so think about it in those terms. And again, it's for Bodies, the exhibition, the one that is conducted in the South Street Seaport. And we only ask that you request it if you really intend on going, because that's what we want you to do, to be able to enjoy it rather than to waste the tickets when somebody else would love to have that opportunity. Great date. Whether you're going on your first, or whether you're renewing your relationship with your wives or with your friends, whatever the case is, a perfect opportunity to go. So there you have it. And there are a limited number of tickets, so don't waste your time thinking about it. If you decide, you can go. And they have an exhibition every day. So you can learn more about it by just simply going to that website, bodiestheexhibition.com, and you'll be able to find out what it is you need to know about it. Okay, so that's terrific. That was very exciting. Personally, I found that exciting. Let's just see what else is happening, because it is really quite exciting, because it does look like there may be a ceasefire that will come about in the Middle East. Even the Egyptian president said that there will be a truce. He had mentioned it for today, and interesting, because things had gotten really out of hand, where some rockets had hit the outskirts of Jerusalem, which is about 5 miles further away, 4 or 5 miles further distant from the Gaza area, where the missile was thought to have been fired. So just very, very interesting and important for people to know. Let me just see what else is happening, if there's any specific new news that's important. Now, this is really quite interesting. You might find this really fascinating. In anticipation of the Thanksgiving, Mayor Marvin from the village of Bronxville, she's issued a notice. We'll be posting her letter with regard to the Thanksgiving, and so very, very interesting to see how they're conducting their business over there. And hopefully you'll be interested in learning that. So that'll be posted very, very shortly. Let me see what else is here. There were a couple of things that happened locally. Of course, we spoke a little bit about the Anabi and Sandy Anabi, Zahi Jaris sentences that came down yesterday. Adam Bradley, the former White Plains mayor, he's now headed for a retrial with regard to spousal abuse charges. And he's saying that he's confident that this time around he will be acquitted. And we'll see what goes on over there. And so it's something else that's happening. It's amazing, all these people that have issues. But again, you know, that's what's so interesting about people with difficulties. We're so headstrong as a people, as individuals, that even when we're told, hey, there's a problem, think about it, we just can't seem to muster up the intestinal fortitude to face up to what is before us. Very, very frightening situation, because it's just bad news. We've really got to learn, and we're evidently not. So just bad, bad news. Okay, let's just see what else is happening here. Okay, we're going to have some more information about what's happening with Hamas, and that's going to be written up as well. So there's a lot more to look forward to. And so that'll take a little bit more time. Let me just see what else, if there's anything else that came out news-wise. Okay. I don't really see very much that's happening on the local scene. And we may just end up needing to conclude a little bit earlier, only because there's just so much to catch up with. Almost a full day was spent yesterday with regard to the court case, even though needed to get there early enough. And it concluded before 1 o'clock for sure. But then there were other things that had to be done. And it was just very difficult to catch up. I didn't get back to the home office till about 6 o'clock. So there were just so many other errands in the city that needed to be done that day. And since I was already down there, I figured I'd have to get them done anyway. Not all of them worked out to the best, but it was done. Okay, well, it doesn't look like there are any other additional notices, but I want to look only at one other place and just to see if there's any more news about what's going on in the Middle East. And let's just check on that. And if so, we'll be able to get the latest on what's happening there. Oh, that's the other thing. It's another crisis that continues to build and build. And that's the Democratic Republic of Congo. It is such a large country. I think it is the Congo is the size of Europe, literally the size of Europe. It's hard to tell when you look at the map unless you have a sense of, a spatial ability. It's very hard to tell. And the Congo itself abuts Rwanda. And the Rwanda government is said to have constantly been supportive of rebels that have been anti the government based in Kinshasa, which is hundreds and hundreds of miles away. And evidently the government in Kinshasa just doesn't have much power in controlling the other side of the country. This is the north. Eastern part of the nation, whereas Kinshasa is on the southwestern side of the country, and that's it. So very, very fascinating situation. Okay, one thing that's interesting is just what we had told you. It seems that now the Egyptian president Morsi says that there will be a truce within hours, as was reported by Haaretz, the newspaper in Israel. And so he says that President Morsi says there's a truce was possible within a few hours. Haaretz, the newspaper, said there will be one. So it'll be somewhere in between or to the extreme, and hopefully there will be one. And so it's interesting where it'll go. In the meantime, the words are still strong and piercing and blatant. And so exactly how this is going to ratchet down is beyond me. But hey, that's the world of diplomacy. And so it's important that that moves ahead. Let's just see if there's anything else that's quite evident here. not there, and we'll just check out and see if there's anything new at the BBC, because I tend to believe that they're coming in earlier. Okay, the BBC is also suggesting that the airstrikes will end in Gaza by the end of Tuesday, which it already is there. I think it's 7 hours ahead, so it's close to 8:30 at night, 8:20. I think that's the correct time now, and we'll see what else is happening here. Oh, this is interesting. The aides to the News Corps, Murdoch's people, certainly the former aide of the UK minister, Andy Coulson, and the ex-News International chief executive, Rebecca Brooks, are going to face bribery charges. Well, that's going to change the scope of things. Who knows? The financial crisis is still very, very strong, as you well know. France has been downgraded, and in their standing on the economic front, and what else? And the Middle East thing that might go down a little bit. The United Kingdom has recognized the Syrian opposition, so we'll see what's happening over there. And then we'll see what happens in the Congo with regarding to the capture by the rebels of the main city in that area, which is the city of Goma. And if for those that evidently ever traveled into Congo, they will have most likely flown into Goma and from there taken a trek to see the guerrillas. In the midst, the best viewing was over there. And Goma, I was in Goma because I did go to see the guerrillas, and this was many, many years ago. And what a trek! But I remember going to Goma from Rwanda, and by road, and then getting into Goma, and from there. Traveling further. And then when I went to Kinshasa, I had flown directly from Lisbon to Kinshasa years ago on Air Portugal. But that was a completely different route, and it was difficult to get to Rwanda at that time. Okay, so that's a story there. Oh, yeah, we didn't. Let me just see. Did I miss something when I was looking here? I wonder also how the president's trip to Myanmar, how that's going. I guess we'll learn a little bit more about that on the news tonight, and how the president views the emerging democratic infusion into the politic, into the body politics of Myanmar, which was formerly known as Burma. And so it'll be very interesting to see what goes on there. Let's see if there's anything specific at the AP, at the Associated Press, to see if there's any particular news that's come out that's really quite pertinent to us. And okay. Okay, I don't see anything in particular at the moment. Well, I guess that's basically it. Let me just see one last thing. There may be an announcement here. No. Okay. All right, well, it looks like there's really nothing more. There are certainly enough topics in the day to keep us going. And then we'll go on from there and see what happens. So we'll speak to you tomorrow. Tomorrow is Wednesday, and we'll get a better perspective of what's happening on the scene. We'll be attending the City Council committee meetings today, and see what's on their agenda and try to catch up with the latest information. Also would suggest, if you have an opportunity, consider reading the Yonkers Tribune for the latest article about immigration, particularly a slice and dicing of the New York Times editorial by none other than the Honorable Ed Koch, the former mayor of the city of New York. And so he gives a wonderful presentation, extremely lucid. You may or may not agree, but it's certainly lucid. And that's the name of the game. So we'll speak to you tomorrow. Enjoy the day. We'll give you one last notice about what's happening at the Westchester Broadway Theater, particularly their Get Buy One, Get One.
Here comes the holiday shopping event everyone's been waiting for, the Westchester Broadway Theater's Thanksgiving Weekend Gift Certificate Special. This Friday, Saturday, or Sunday, when you buy one gift certificate for two to the WBT, you'll get a second gift certificate for half price. That's right, half price. You know they're great gifts for everyone. They include a delicious full-course dinner for two and a fabulous Broadway musical, and they're good for an entire year. You're probably buying them for your friends and family anyway, but if you buy them this Thanksgiving weekend, you'll get each second gift certificate for half off the regular low price. They're available at the theater box office, but you can also pick them up at our holiday booths at the Jefferson Valley Mall, the Palisades Mall, the Poughkeepsie Galleria, or the Danbury Fair Mall. Or order them by phone at 914-592-2222. You can even order them online at BroadwayTheater.com. Don't miss this once-a-year savings event. Buy one gift certificate for two and get the second for half price. But only this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday after Thanksgiving, and only for the Westchester Broadway Theater.
Oh, wow. Here's something else we just found out as we return to Westchester on the Level. Oh, this is frightening. A security guard opened fire at an attacker during a stabbing incident at the United States Embassy in Tel Aviv. The attacker was apprehended by police. Oh, for God's sakes. This is unbelievable. A man stabbed a security guard at the U.S. Embassy in Tel Aviv on Tuesday. Was apprehended by police, a police spokesman said. The guard opened fire during the attack. Israel Radio reported that according to the police, the attacker, who was armed with a knife and axe, was not wounded. Security guards shot at the assailant, a 41-year-old Israeli from Bat Yam, but did not wound him. One of the security guards sustained light wounds to his leg. Alicia Tzurtz-Piro, a British-Israeli resident of Tel Aviv, witnessed the event, and she said, "I heard voices and shouting and looked up to see what I thought was a shooter. It looked like he had a gun in his hand in a standoff at the back of the embassy with 6 to 7 embassy guards," she recounted. "I heard the words, 'Don't shoot,' in English. Within moments, there were gunshots. After the gunshots, the guards moved in to wrestle him to the ground. It was a real struggle. It took many guards to hold him down. He struggled and he was shouting," she said, as the guards were holding down this man, an armored vehicle exited the embassy. Police spokesman Mickey Rosenfeld said the suspect is being held at the scene. Tel Aviv police spokeswoman Orit Friedman says the attacker's motives are unknown, but political motives are not suspected. The U.S. Embassy did not immediately comment. Oh, for goodness sakes. Okay. Okay, let's just see what else is happening here. All right. Okay, well, all right, so we'll just see exactly what's happening here. That seems to be the latest information from Israel, and we'll find out what's going on later on. We'll catch up more on what's happening in the Middle East on Thursday when we speak to Dr. Alamari, and hopefully we'll have a better comprehension of what's happening. And that's it. You know, we'll just see what else is going on, and then we'll travel from there. Okay, whatever the case is, we'll speak to you tomorrow, and we thank you for making the time for us. If we don't speak to you later in the week, just have a happy Thanksgiving for you and your family, your friends. Get together rather than do all that shopping, and might be a better way to go. All right, be good. Bye.